Hi, this is Phyllis Pricer. Welcome to the Higher Dimensions. We are having a little trouble getting a hold of our guests this evening, and I think they're calling in on the other line, so I'm hoping that you will be hearing from him shortly. Our guest tonight is to be Arthur Marshall, a dietitian, health expert. We're hoping that we will be able to receive his call in just a moment. Meanwhile, let's see what we can do. We wanted to talk to you about the nutritional health of people who have diabetes and who need exercise and to keep their bodies in perfect health. That is my feeling for you all, is that there are many people out there who have diabetes and they need to control it. Okay, can you... Thank you. Yes, I'm sorry for the interruption, but there is work for us to do here tonight, and I'm so sorry about the discombobulation, but we have another phone call coming in, I think, from that person. We need to have you hold for just a moment, please. Thank you. Hello? Yes. Hi. Yes, you need to call 530-876-3222. Please. Mm-hmm. 3222 to get on the air. Yeah, we're on the air live on the internet right now. Thank you. Okay. Our guest will be calling in just a moment, please. And his background is in diabetes and, as I said, healthcare training. He became aware of the needs of this area when he himself, at the age of 17 or 18, was diagnosed as a diabetic. And so it has been a lifelong research for him and maintenance for him to manage his diabetes and to help others. He is with a healthcare clinic in the Washington metropolitan area, and he is a very good person. His wife is a yoga instructor. And their lives are dedicated to body, mind, and spirit. We seem to be experiencing some difficulty now at this time on our radio show. I'm sorry about that. We're getting strange noises over here. Things are discombobulated tonight.
We have the caller online with you. Sorry about that. I forgot to switch back the settings from our last radio show.
Okay.
So we do have a caller online with you.
Is this Marshall? This is Arthur Marshall?
Yes, there's a caller online with you, Arthur Marshall.
He is our guest for this evening, Don.
Okay, excellent.
How do we get him on?
Well, he's on now if he wants to stay on.
Okay. Could you let him know that he'd be paying for the call and how we can handle this?
Okay.
Do you want us to phone him back?
If he doesn't mind.
That'd be great.
Okay.
I have my number. It's 202-723-9769, and I'll be standing by.
Okay, but you do know you just gave out your number over the air, don't you?
Okay.
Live.
Cool.
I just wanted you to know that, because we are plugged in here.
Hey. I'm a guest here.
Okay, well, I'll phone you right back. Phyllis, do you have the number?
No, I don't. I didn't hear it.
Okay,
202-723-9769. Arthur Marshall. It's in the phone book, so it's no big deal.
I can't hear the first three digits.
202-723.
Don, can you tell what it is? I can't hear it.
All right,
hello?
Stay with me. You're both coming off the air.
I'm sorry for all of this discombobulation, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, we're off the air. We're off the air. I'm going to phone you right back.
Okay.
And what's your number? Hold on. Stay with me, Phyllis. Don't go anywhere.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead. Fill me your number again. 202.
723.
9769. Okay. You're off the air now, by the way. Okay. I'll phone you right back. Stay with me. I'll phone you right back.
Okay. I'm hanging up now.
Thank you. Phyllis, stay with me. Stay with me. Okay, don't go anywhere now. I'm going to be clicking over. Okay. Phyllis? Phyllis? Phyllis?
Yeah.
Okay, you're there.
Hello?
Okay, you're both online. I'm going to put you back on the air at the count of five. Five, four, three, two, one.
Good evening, and ladies and gentlemen, let's hope that this time we really work. I know it was really confusing before with phones ringing and everything else, so I wanted to bring you a guest tonight, a very nice gentleman named Arthur Marshall. He is a personal trainer, and he is also a nutritionist. He works with people with special needs at a clinic in Washington, D.C. He's working with Body, Mind, and Spirit, which is something you know that the show works with closely and coordinates, and we are so glad to have you. Welcome, Marshall. Arthur.
Thank you very much.
I'm sorry for the confusion, but things do happen.
Sure they do, and you just have rolling with the punches.
Oh, well, you know, it's the only way we can do is to roll with the punches, and we're so happy you can come and visit with us this evening. I know you were out of town for a little while, and it can make it things hairy getting back. At any rate, would you tell them a little bit about yourself, where you're from? And I did get to tell them a little bit about the fact that you did have juvenile diabetes, which is how you somehow got into the field of alternative health care. And go from there.
Sure, out of necessity.
Right.
You know, I was diagnosed as a diabetic in college. I went through all the classic symptoms of the disease. And out of necessity to maintain my own health, just sharing this information with so many people, this is such an important issue right now as we have high disease rates, especially in the minority communities, but overall in this country, very negative health situation happening. And a lot of it has to do with diet, but of course exercise can alleviate that. And through exercise and diet, on a personal level, I've been able to strive. I've had the disease for over 20 years now, and I've been very healthy. And it is said that a diabetic who has to be more careful with their health, with their nutrition, with their exercise, with their medication, and has to pay attention to these details, a lot of times is more healthy than the average person.
Really?
Paying such close attention to their blood sugar levels, to their diet, their portion sizes, and getting enough exercise. So, and as we know, today lifestyles have changed. People are more sedentary, but the body hasn't. The body wants to be worked hard. It needs exercise, of course. It needs proper nutrition and rest. We want to talk about balance, balance with again proper nutrition, exercise, and rest, relaxation.
Okay. Now, have you been able to control the diabetes through diet, or is it necessary for you to take medication?
I'm a type 1 diabetic, which is known as an insulin-dependent diabetic.
Okay.
However, in my mind, I want to work to a day where I do not have to take insulin.
Excellent.
But, whatever the case may be, for me as a diabetic, whether it is that my body does not is unable to receive the insulin that I'm producing, or my body is not producing enough insulin, or whatever the case may be, I am dependent on insulin, and I take regular injections.
Okay. So there's a larger, over the years, the past few years, is it true, since I don't know from my own knowledge and study, is it true that there has been an increase in the instance of diabetes in younger people?
Oh, yes. And not diabetes, most assuredly, but other diseases as well. The statistic is that 50% of all blacks and Latinos born after the year 2000 will contract diabetes.
50%.
5 out of 10 children after the year of 2000. And all you have to do is look around when you go out and you see them. They're the ones that are eating, they have some food in their hand, and they're overweight. They're obviously overweight and being overfed. And it's a lot of time it's it's within the family. Several members of the family might be overweight. The mother might pass on these poor eating habits to the child and so forth and so on.
What about instances of, and this is true in my family, of hypothyroidism, and wherein my thyroid slows down and I have to take supplements for it, and it is so hard.
Right. I want to speak about that. That's a great question. Let me just say that we have noticed children also having strokes.
Yes, unheard of when I was growing up.
But it's interesting that you speak about hypothyroidism, and, you know, a lot of these things are diet-related. The truth is, most Americans' current health problems are a result of dietary abuses. This is from the Department of Agriculture. And so, with the hypothyroidism, the hypertension, and I could go on and on down the line of diseases and health problems, you have to look at your diet and your lifestyle.
Okay.
And I have heard recently, I have hot information in my hand. I mean, this information that I'm dealing with, it's coming out all the time because we're learning so much, you know, constantly through trial and error, unfortunately. But it may be attributable to something in your diet or in the diet of the person who's having the hypothyroidism.
That's interesting.
And I could be more specific there, but suffice it to say, on a general level, people should be very careful about eating for health and not for some other satisfaction.
Usually feeling sorry for themselves.
There are a whole range of issues why people abuse food and so forth.
Right.
They use it for comfort.
Comfort, right, exactly. And to feel good. I know in my particular instance, I didn't come into a problem with thyroid until after. Well, actually, it started when I had my first pregnancy. And it came and then went after the pregnancy was over with. I have a family history going back three generations. In fact, I had a grandfather who died of complications of thyroid. And it doesn't hit everyone in our generation. I mean, my kids are fine. They don't seem to have a problem at all. I know that after I had my first pregnancy, I had this, you know, I couldn't lose the weight. I tried. It didn't work.
Right.
I finally got put on medication, and then I could lose the weight.
Right. The metabolism.
Yes. But sometimes when I diet, I know this, that I have to go down as much as 600 calories a day in order to lose weight. And that's with exercising. And that's not a good diet.
Right.
So, and I'm not trying to be unique or different. I'm just saying that sometimes I think heredity does play a role. Sometimes.
Oh, most assuredly.
And what can those people do to take care of themselves? Like, I know you know that I'm doing exercising now.
Right.
I'm your wife's wonderful tutelage.
Exercise is a key to, of course, weight control, but health management.
Mm-hmm.
The benefits of exercise are an increased metabolic rate. Decreased body fat, increased energy.
Well, I can attest to that part, yes.
Disease risk decreases with physical activity.
Mm-hmm.
Heart disease, diabetes, high cholesterol, and others that we've spoke of.
Mm-hmm.
Aerobic activities like walking, jogging, swimming, cycling, stair climbing, rowing. You notice walking is at the top of the list. It is an excellent form of exercise that more people should be taking advantage of, and I endorse it. And it's my I love walking, my primary form of exercise.
How do you deal with patients now, for example, who come in and they present, but they have sort of like exercise-induced asthma?
Right.
How do you? And this is. Go ahead.
I have these patients that come in. They come in with the oxygen in their nose.
Wow.
During class. And so when it's time to exercise, I tell these guys, I encourage them to do as much as they can do. You do it at your own level of ability.
Okay.
But the current recommendations are for Americans to exercise every day for about 60 minutes, or almost every day. It used to be, they used to say two or three times a week. That didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So now the recommendations are for people to exercise every day. It's very important, and people aren't doing it. With the sedentary lifestyle, you don't have to move. You can sit around and use the remote, use the electronics, elevator, escalator, car, and people aren't exercising.
Yeah.
And ideally, you should try to work out at least 5 hours each week to see results, and you should start with what you can easily manage, and that's for anybody. Wherever you start, you have to start, and you have to get moving and add a little more each week,
mm-hmm.
Is what I advise.
Okay. And in nutrition, for those who are older as well as younger, you deal with all age groups, am I right?
Yes, surely.
Okay. What do you recommend for kids? Now, I remember growing up, we had and it was a big deal, recess, actually twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
And now I understand children don't have recess. Is that something that should be reinstituted or looked at seriously?
I've done some work here in Washington in charter schools,
mm-hmm.
talking about nutrition and talking about exercise. They get the connection between your health, your diet, and your health,
mm-hmm.
and disease.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they I speak to them about people in their families and so forth and so on. So
mm-hmm.
They're naturally energetic, but definitely we need to encourage them to have space and
mm-hmm.
to have space to run and exercise and play. That's definitely a high priority. Nutrition, though, in the schools is an issue.
Well, yeah.
You know, nutrition in schools, and you say if they're not getting outside for recess,
right?
They don't need to be consuming so many calories.
Exactly.
And when you talk about the schools, you've got corporations coming in, branding these children at a very young age with the advertising.
Exactly, which I think is horrendous myself.
It is, and we have a health crisis in this country. There's no question where it's funded by these corporations, industrial farming.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad for the environment. It's mm-hmm. huge drain on our environment to raise all of this food, the different foods, the pork, the beef, the poultry, the fish farms, and it's not a good situation on that end. But
mm-hmm.
when you look at its effect on the children of today and the statistics that are coming out now, I heard President Clinton say that this will be the first generation that dies younger than the preceding one for health reasons. And we're talking about preventable diseases here.
Mm.
And that's...
That's pretty sad.
That's disheartening, very disheartening. So it is very serious, very serious. I'm glad to be involved in the discussion. And it's contagious. Once you get people aware of really what's happening and
mm-hmm.
just what they can do to involve themselves with others, and I encourage people to exercise alone, together,
mm-hmm.
In groups, invite their friends over,
mm-hmm.
be consistent with their
mm-hmm.
exercise, and use a variety of different methods, forms
mm-hmm.
of exercise. Exercise starts when you get up in the morning, brushing your teeth.
Right. That's
and
true.
You're burning calories from that point on. If you break it up into segments throughout the day, the cumulative effect will still be the same, you know. So there's really no excuse not to be getting more exercise, especially for the kids. And as I said, I've been in charter schools dealing with kids, and it's the information wasn't there in previous generations, but it is now, and it really needs to be espoused. I really appreciate this format also. The programming that you're doing is excellent.
Well, thank you. I want to get see if you can give us some practical hints and tips that people can look at and try to incorporate now into their daily routines and the routines of their kids. For example, for a typical kid, say a first grader, what kind of exercise should they be doing? I know I personally didn't like running and never have, never will, but walking is fine. Is that right?
Oh, walking is excellent.
And for kids, what should they be doing and engaging in when they get up? And what kind of breakfast is a good thing for the kids to have to get them started?
Okay. Well, you should be basing your diet on complex carbohydrates. A lot of grain is excellent to start your day with. Some grain, fiber is excellent. A good cereal, but be careful of the ingredients. I mean, today, when you go into the regular supermarket today, you have to be very careful of the ingredients that are in these foods. The ingredient labels, you have to read them. You're talking about a lot of high fat, not necessarily in cereal where you find a lot of fat, but a lot of sugar, a lot of salt, and these things are very, very bad for you. So having too much sugar, having a bad cereal or a bad meal is just as bad as not having one at all, because you have these kids bouncing off the walls. The effects of a lot of sugar is definitely not good for them to be able to concentrate and focus. They need to have a complex carbohydrate, maybe some oatmeal, some oats, hot oats would be good.
Okay.
But you talked about first graders. These guys are naturally energetic.
Yes. That's why I'm thinking they need to get out and it's unnatural for children to sit for hours at a time.
On the indoors.
It
certainly is. They need to get out and run. And I know in my childhood that was a great benefit for me. I had a lot of room on the campus that I went to school to run and run and run. And it has been beneficial for me, so I know.
They had jungle gyms. They had swings. They had what, the monkey bars, we used to call them.
Right.
And so, you know, we went out and we played hard and for 15 minutes even, and it was enough to get you to be able to calm down to get back inside.
I always think these kids, their energy is unlimited. But I do want to give you some specifics here in terms of a conditioning plan.
Yes.
Aerobics is very important. When people get into exercising a lot of time, joining a gym and whatnot, they want to use free weights or they want to exercise with weights. I encourage people to first do an aerobic conditioning plan, initial phase consisting of about 3 months, an initial conditioning phase. You always want to plan your schedule in a realistic manner, an improvement phase of about 3 to 6 months following that, and then a maintenance phase of 6 months plus. So you want to have realistic goals. You want to look at where you've been, where you are now, and where you want to go, and you want to have when you are exercising, you want to look at the three stages of exercise. You want to warm up first for about 5 minutes, and that can be a walk.
Okay.
A walk. You can walk for about 5 minutes. You want to get your heart rate up and have an aerobic conditioning period of about 45 minutes, and then a cool down and stretching phase of about 5 to 10 minutes until the heart rate has recovered back to normal.
Because I certainly don't see that in a gym.
Right, exactly. A lot of times people who are using the gyms are using them incorrectly. Again, with exercise, you want to focus on your form. It's not about how much weight you lift. It's about using proper form and proper breathing.
Right.
And in exercise, in this warm-up, for about 5 minutes, a low intensity, which is half your normal intensity to prevent injuries, and also in the aerobic conditioning period, you want to try and maintain that increased heart rate for about 20 minutes when you first get started, and then increase that to 40 to 60 minutes gradually, that you want to stay within your target heart rate.
Okay. Would you consider things like, Pilates or yoga as a good exercise regimen?
Most assuredly, but after, once again, after 3 to 6 months of a cardiovascular routine and you have that firmly established.
Really?
Because we're talking about your heart. Your heart is your most important. And you're getting so much benefit from a cardiovascular training program. That weight training should be secondary. Ideally, spend a couple of days a week weight training in addition to your aerobic exercise. But a lot of weight trainers, if you go straight into weight training, you go into gyms and you see guys who are lifting weights a lot of time, as I said, improperly. These guys have not conditioned their body aerobically. And you ask them to run around the block one time, they'll be out of breath. But they're strong, but their heart is not strong. And the objective here is to
make the heart strong. That's what's going to allow you to live a higher quality of life
for a
number of years into the future. And then you can also use exercise bands, machines, and exercise different forms of exercise like Pilates and yoga, most assuredly.
Okay.
Yoga strikes the balance between mind and body, which is wonderful. And that's what I always encourage people in my personal training, to make that mind-body connection.
Mm-hmm.
To become really that really allows you to focus on concentrating your efforts.
Mm-hmm.
Most assuredly. Yoga also deals a lot with breath.
Yes, which is very, very important.
Yeah, breath is very important.
Well, the proper breathing, too, because I know that I have just recently been diagnosed with asthma, and I'm in my early 60s, and I never had a problem with breathwork. I studied opera when I was younger, so I learned how to breathe properly, and it was kind of a shock to find myself diagnosed at this late stage. It's one of the last things I expected to have. I'm not a smoker, you know, and I don't use alcohol, and you know, I've kept a fairly decent life. I must admit, I fell down on the exercise part. A couch potato is a comfortable way to be sometimes. But I find that a lot of other people my age, and it surprises me, don't really understand that you can start anytime into this program. It doesn't matter your weight. It doesn't matter what you do, as long as you start doing something. Even if it's like 5 or 10 minutes a day. Is that correct?
That's right. And, of course, balance is the key. Those who think they do not have time for bodily exercise will sooner or later be forced to find time for illness. And
that's true.
With all the factors against us in our environment today, with the environmental degradation that's taking place
mm-hmm.
across the globe,
mm-hmm.
one has to fight back to improve their immune system and
yeah.
to get their body into the best possible condition to combat a lot of these carcinogens that are in our environment. I was talking a little bit about the foods that are on the shelf. I believe that, and a statistic that I've heard and used reference, 50 to 75% of the food in a commercial grocery store is non-essential for the body.
I'm going to have to agree with that. When I look at all the amounts of different choices we have, we call them choices.
Yeah,
and a lot of it is just for superfluity, I guess is the word. I know some Russian people came to visit, and they just went out of their mind when they saw the choices that we had.
Again, you have to read those food labels.
Yes.
I mean, you have all these commercially high-processed, commercialized foods, high-processed foods that are full of preservatives and not well-made. We're talking about byproducts here of a lot of other foods. And you have to be very careful about these commercial products. So I encourage people to read the food label. If you can't understand what's mm-hmm. in the food, the word, if you don't know what it means, you shouldn't be eating it.
Well, I think some of the things I've seen in the grocery store, you know, some of the snack foods, so to speak, are simply chemicals. I
yeah.
mean, they're not foods as
well,
such.
Well, you've touched on a big one there.
They
one
are
of those
just
is MSG.
Chemical.
MSG is a chemical that's added to a lot of foods. And what it does is it makes you obese. It makes you fat, and it makes you want more of the food. It's
a subtle addictive.
Yeah, it was given to scientists gave it to mice to create these morbidly obese creatures, and they call them MSG treated mice, and this is proven to make humans become obese, and it's in everything. It's in all kinds of foods, soups. I have a list here of brand name products that it's contained in. The fast food restaurants, all the TV dinners, it's everywhere. And so people are being fed this substance and unaware of it, it goes under a lot of different names, and I'll tell you exactly what they are. But monosodium glutamate, hydrolyzed vegetable protein, hydrolyzed protein, plant protein, sodium caseinate, yeast extract, autolyzed yeast, hydrolyzed oat flour, and they disguise it under all of these names, but it's a substance that makes people want more of the food that they're eating, and it makes them become obese.
Sort of like nicotine added to cigarettes in order to become more addicted to smoking cigarettes.
Isn't that something? So we have these toxins in our environment, and we
have
to exercise. We have to get our bodies up to withstand these toxins.
Mm-hmm.
Most assuredly. I want to talk a little bit about stress.
Go for it. That's a big one on the hit parade.
Okay, so we've talked about diet and we've talked about exercise. To create balance, you also have to have rest and relaxation.
Mm-hmm.
In our world today, there's a lot of mental and emotional strain.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what stress is.
Mm-hmm.
Mental and emotional strain.
Mm-hmm.
There's anything that has the potential of stealing our peace and joy,
mm-hmm.
and eventually compromising our health may be considered as a source of stress.
Right.
And there's several kinds of stress. There are four of them. Thermal stress is the kind that deals with being exposed to extreme temperatures, hot or cold.
Okay.
Chemical stress. This results from excessive use of various substances, like the ones we've been talking about, sugar, caffeine, mm-hmm. alcohol, nicotine, etc. Physical stress is a third type of stress that affects many, if not most of us. It often results from a lack of sleep, overworking, or excessive physical exercise. So you can overtrain your body. That's why this rest is so important. The fourth category, emotional and mental stress. This is the type of stress is generated from the worries and general anxiety that arise in life.
Right, your family, what have you.
And leads to a lot of illness. So you have to get your rest, and you spoke about yoga. Yoga deals with meditation. Whatever form of rest, relaxation, meditation works for you, I encourage you to definitely incorporate it into your lifestyle to create a proper balance for health.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That is so important. And many people, I'd say a lot of mothers, I don't know too much about the fathers. I have to admit, being a woman, I can only speak from one side of the coin. But I know we try to do so much and to be so many things to so many people all the time that we never really relax and enjoy who we are.
That's right.
And that you go to work, you have kids, so you're the chief cook and bottle washer, you're the chauffeur, you're the doctor mom, you know. And I notice that very often women will pick at their food because they're up and down at the table trying to make sure everybody has food. They work from morning, noon, and night, and it's very, very difficult. They try to be supermom, and it's not necessary to be supermom. You lose a lot in that, and I don't think kids really understand what you do for them in the long run. And what happens is you burn your body down. You find yourself burned out fairly easily. And I think a lot of women don't really understand why they feel so fatigued and tired sometimes, because they have burned themselves out. I don't know what the answer is to it, to be honest with you, in today's world, of how we can stop this stress or get off this, but this particular little merry-go-round.
I'll tell you how it's done. It's done one person at a time.
Okay.
One person at a time. One person at a time takes control of their life. Doesn't let the stressors that are there affect their health in a negative way. There are ways to deal with stress. Once again, exercise is a formidable one. Whatever exercise is, if you like to go out onto the golf course and play golf, do that. We spoke about kids. Get them involved in sports. Organize sports. Do things. It doesn't have to be a high impact, high intensity type of activity. It can be a moderate to a low impact, moderate physical activity between the family. Make it fun. Make it interesting. And do it on a consistent basis. If we can get back to sharing time together as a family, I think a lot of the stresses really go away. But we're pulled in so many. Life is so competitive, pulled in a million different directions. It's not healthy. And a lot of it really distracts us and distracts our ability to focus on what's really going on. We're consumed with a lot of materialism, a lot of isms. You have, you know, where you have classism, racism, and on down the line. And people aren't focusing on what's important. We are here for a limited amount of time to make this a better place, to grow as a world community. So you have to talk about the global impact of, not being conscious in terms of how you consume things. You know, if you're constantly consuming things in a way that's not healthy, you're leaving a large footprint on the earth.
And that we're not necessarily talking about consumption as in edibles, are we? We're talking about a lot of consumption.
Yeah, too much consumption to even...
What I was going to say is I ran into this when I was raising my kids, and that was not too terribly long ago. What I noticed were some parents were really getting into doing so much for their kids, putting them into so many organized activities, that there was no real personal time. I mean, and the kids were going morning, noon, and night. And I stopped one time and I said, when do you ever stop and let your children lie on their bellies in the dirt or the grass and watch an ant or a beetle push its load? When do you have them turn over and just figure out what they can see in the sky? You know, because to me, this is a part of learning to be independent on your own and noticing the world around you. It's a part of working with the earth and the sky because it's so healing. But we're so, a lot of us are so pushed into getting our kids to compete in programs that are, and I think too much competition, and quite frankly, isn't all that healthy.
No,
you know,
I agree.
It's all about winning and not about having a whole heck of a lot of fun and enjoy something just for the sheer joy of doing it. But
yeah, the principles need to be in place there.
Yeah, I talked to some of the mothers about this, and they, because they themselves missed the joy of dancing or couldn't do this or that, and so they're making darn sure their kids have every opportunity to get everything. And I'm thinking, this is one kid. You're stuffing her like a sausage with everything, but not letting them have downtime. I mean, they don't have time to read or, as you say, play games with the family like Monopoly or something. And I don't know quite how to do this except to say sometimes it's okay to just sit back and do nothing. But, yeah, activity is good, but frenzied activity where you're rushing back and forth and hither, thither, and yon, that's not relaxation for anybody.
Not at all. It's a crazy rough and tumble out there for a lot of people who get caught up once again into the material realm. Because everybody is not like that. A lot of people move at the to the beat of their own drummer. And they and you reminded me of a saying that goes, some of the best things in life are free.
Absolutely.
You know, and when you talk about sports and you talk about all this competition, what I said the word principle. It really comes down to the principles. The principles should be the foundation of any relationship with your children, and you're teaching them about life. These are the principles that transcend any game, any sport, any situation in life, any thing that they might come upon in life. The foundation of everything that they do should be based on the principles of discipline, honor, integrity, courage, having respect for other people. You know, and
it's okay to lose, by the way. It's okay not to win something.
That's right. There's got to be a winner. And in losing, you are a winner. And you just have to look at it. You know, people are so fixed and focused and into the way they look at things. And we're really losing a lot of objectivity in looking at things in a different way, learning to, as we said when we begun, roll with the punches of life and not get mired down into any negative behavior patterns.
May I ask you this, in along with what you do do you think that having a pet sometimes is good for the kids to learn how to take care of them, to deal with them? That's also a stress reducer for adults, by the way,
is
having
sure
a pet.
But, I, you know, want to caution,
right,
you know, to make sure that it's a pet that you're able to take care of and
right
accommodate. Because,
right,
you know, having pets is a responsibility, and sometimes it's too much responsibility for a kid. So start out maybe with a goldfish.
Yeah, yeah.
And if they can keep the goldfish alive for a while, then maybe you can graduate to a
right
gerbil or a hamster.
Right.
But
right,
you don't want to start off with anything that's going to require too much care or treatment.
Right. But I also think that for older people, that a pet is good, too. That's another stress reducer.
Very good therapy.
Yes.
Yes, it is for a lot of people.
Okay.
It's interesting that there, people are having to replace relationships with significant others with animals,
mm-hmm,
in a lot of contexts, and it just goes back to the pace of life today. Everybody's on the run. Everybody has an agenda. And, you know, a lot of times we're growing apart from each other.
Yes, yes.
Which is unfortunate.
Well, yeah, and I think that's also, I noticed there's a lot of selfishness that's going on today that I don't think was so obvious so many years ago. A lot of people don't seem to realize that they're running roughshod over others. You know, they really, and if you point it out, they kind of look at you in a daze because they don't really understand what relationships are about. And that's, I think, pretty kind of sad that they can't understand what relationships are about in today's world. I think also, there are so many factors that work into stress and anxiety. I think when we're rude to others, we stress ourselves. Does that make sense?
Most assuredly. Most assuredly.
And when we're courteous and polite to other people, we aren't. I think when we are rude, we unconsciously sometimes, though not all the times, because I know some people are just, choose to
yeah
be rude. But I think we unconsciously stress our bodies when we are unkind to others.
Sure.
I think we can't get away from the body-mind connection, that we are all one.
Sure.
And when one part of the body is treated with disrespect, the other parts of the body suffer. Does that
most
make sense
assuredly
to you?
Most assuredly. Most assuredly.
And I don't know that people really kind of make that connection in this world, that when you react with other people, you're reacting with another part of your body, in essence, and a part of your world. And I guess that goes to the holistic portion of dealing with health and food. It's like if you eat bad food that's not good for you, your entire body suffers.
It's interesting that you touched on that.
Hmm.
I'm looking at an article here. It says, what is driving us to the medicine aisles of the pharmacy? To a degree, it is our feelings of stress. Americans are swallowing 5 billion tranquilizers,
oh,
5 billion barbiturates,
oh,
and 3 billion amphetamines and 16 tons of aspirin a year. Much of the medicine is being taken to help relieve stress or the resulting headaches and pains associated with it. So when you talk about holistic health, there's something that will get you up. Because a lot of people aren't thinking about their health proactively. So they're running to treat these symptoms to the medicine aisles to the tunes of trillions of dollars a year.
And like we couldn't have it in our pockets, right, and spend it a lot better on ourselves. I'd rather go on a trip than put it into a pharmaceutical company's hand, to be honest with you.
Most assuredly. Most assuredly. So I think, having said all this, there's lots of work to do. So
yeah,
that's motivating. However, it's somewhat discouraging when you look at the trends today. But once again, it starts with each person,
mm-hmm,
and we have to begin changing the world by changing ourselves.
The other thing is, you say you work in Washington. Do you take private clients? Could somebody call you and
sure
have you consult with them, or would you like
sure
to give your information further?
Sure.
Go ahead, please. Feel free
okay
to do so. At this juncture, we give you an opportunity to present yourself and what you do and perhaps get clients or get calls from people who need your help.
Sure. Okay, well, I'm doing work in Washington, D.C. I'm a certified personal trainer and also a nutritional counselor teaching in Washington, D.C. I definitely take personal clients, and I can be reached online at arthurmarshall_1@hotmail.com
mm-hmm.
or arthurmarshall@verizon.net.
Okay.
And I've already given out my phone number, as I've been reminded, to the whole world. So I'll give it out once again. It's 202-723-9769.
Fabulous. I think it's absolutely wonderful that you are doing this work. We need a lot more people that, like you and your wife, who do work with others and who do encourage people to take care and start where you are right now to take care of yourself, because it's truly never too late to take care of your body. I don't think it's ever too late to begin to love yourself, because I consider taking care of yourself an act of love.
Yes.
And many people forget themselves, and especially those who are mothers and those who are trying to handle so many different roles in the family. And you know, if you don't love yourself and take care of yourself, I can't think of anybody else who's going to do that for you. It's very important. And I have to say, I'm one of the guilty ones. I was so busy taking care of my family and doing everything for everyone else that I didn't respect myself and take care of myself. And now, you know, I'm paying the piper, but it's never too late. And I decided that it was time to take care of me and do what I could for me. And I have to say, I'm really enjoying the pampering. I feel
right.
So good.
Nothing like it.
Oh, I feel so good. Your wife, by the way, has been a wonderful inspiration. I started doing exercises before I even leave the bed in the morning.
You're right.
Which means that's my favorite position to work, is lying down on the job, so to speak. I won't go into the subtitle there. But I do about an hour's worth of work in the morning before I even leave my bedroom.
Right. Excellent.
And I'm hoping that I'll see more of an increase from it, but I understand that I'm not exactly adhering to the best diet either. That's also, what do you recommend as a really good diet for people that would help them and help bring up their energy, since we have a few more minutes to talk?
Okay, most assuredly. In my studies, I deduced that a vegetarian diet, primarily a vegetarian diet with some fish, is the most beneficial diet.
Okay.
And, again, you have to be careful of the sources. If you're going to eat fish,
yes.
Whether it's a factory farm fish or a fresh, wild-caught fish,
uh-huh.
You want to make sure that you're very careful about how you obtain fish. But, again, a vegetarian diet, high in grain and fiber,
mm-hmm.
with fresh fruits and vegetables,
mm-hmm.
Is the most beneficial diet. I could talk about, I've been a vegetarian now for quite some time. My wife, who you spoke of, Nikki, was very influential in helping me to refine my diet. And we share a very healthy diet with our son, who is now 10 months old, who is eating a vegetarian diet. And the benefits of a vegetarian diet are innumerable. It is a lot of information right now speaking about the health benefits of a vegetarian diet.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my best advice. There is such a variety in the vegetarian menu, whereas if you're a meat eater,
mm-hmm.
you only have a very limited variety of foods that you can choose from,
mm-hmm.
where the vegetables and plants of the earth offer us so much more nutritive value,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to you know, these foods that people are eating, other foods that people are eating. And that's what we want to get into. We want to get our bodies food that have nutritive value, the
mm-hmm.
vitamins and the minerals that will help us resist a lot of the toxins in our environment today.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my best advice. And
mm-hmm.
once again, you're talking about an improved mood when you're eating vegetables. There are sources for protein in the vegetarian menu, so that's not an excuse. Calcium also is one of the points that people use for not becoming vegetarian, but calcium-rich foods are found throughout the green leafy vegetables, for example. And so give it a try. Mm-hmm. Do a fasting, a cleansing, a detoxification of your body with juices, fresh juices that you can juice yourself and get rid of the pesticides and the toxins that are in our foods today. Especially if you're eating meat, they're putting a lot of growth hormones and other substances and chemicals into these meats that people are eating today that are very unhealthy. We don't know what the long-term health implications are of some of these things, but we do know that we have increased risks of heart disease and so forth from a lot of high fat content in the meat. So you want to be careful about that. But definitely give vegetarianism some investigation and see if there isn't a way that you can actively reduce some of the risk of disease in your life through a more healthy diet and lifestyle.
Well, I think those are wonderful words of wisdom. The one thing I can notice, because there are a couple of people I know who are vegetarians, that when we go out to restaurants, sometimes they find it difficult to have a really good meal because the menu selection is so narrow, I guess, for a vegetarian, especially if somebody is a vegan. Okay, no milk, no cheese, no eggs. That sometimes there is a lack of, they can only just eat straight veggies. And I guess that's not a condemnation, but I feel kind of sorry for them, you know?
Right.
Or I tend to see them eating things that I don't eat, like a lot of French fries or fried vegetables or potato chips or something. You know, that to me is less healthy. Maybe I'm wrong, but I guess if you're hungry, you're hungry.
Yeah. But, well, I'll tell you, when we try a new restaurant, often it's not long before we've been disappointed somehow. You know, and I have to encourage people to really be careful about eating out at restaurants. Make sure that you choose one that has a wide variety of vegetarian entrees.
Mm-hmm.
That means they have healthy greens and vitamin-fortified, nutritious foods for you to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the standard fare that a lot of restaurants have, again, with a lot of added chemicals such as MSG in the food that you have to be careful of. But definitely shop at health food stores, shop at farmers markets, bring home a bounty of fresh fruits and vegetables that you can prepare your own delicious meals from, and invite your friends over. Make your house that happening place where you can sit down and relax over a healthy meal and have intelligent conversation and knowing that the food that you're consuming is good for you and healthy because you prepared it yourself.
Oh, that sounds fine. I'm almost hungry. Well, it's been a joy talking to you. I'm so glad that you were able to reach us this evening and to spend time with us. I think you've given a lot of information, a lot of thought. You've given me information I didn't have, and I'm going to see what I can do to follow some of it, actually, incorporate it in my life, because I want to have a healthier and happier lifestyle. I wanted to let you know that I hope that people will call you and ask you and get your name out there, because I think you've got a lot to give and a lot of information to share with many people. And I thank you so much for being here this evening. And I'm hoping that we're on the right track here, that our show is almost over. It always ends too fast for me. I always have, yes, it's wonderful information from the people that I have, that I sometimes have a hard time closing my show because I want to learn more and share more. But I thank you, and perhaps we can have you talk again sometime, and maybe I can give you some report of some good news on for the inspiration you've given me this evening on eating healthier foods and shopping more wisely. I'm Phyllis Pricer, and the show is The Higher Dimensions. If you want to comment on the show, you can contact us at www.bbsradio.com. That's our website. Or you can call in. I think the website has the telephone number there. We are so delighted to have had this wonderful guest today and the wonderful information that he has shared with us. And we are looking forward to next week to having Mr. Jerry Smith, who's going to talk about some of the books he's written and some of the investigation work that he has done. At any rate, I'm Phyllis Pricer. Thank you so much. We'll look forward to hearing from you next week. Thank you, Arthur.
Oh, thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.